The health thing that she had, the dental.
Good morning. Welcome to the House Water and Environment Committee. We're open. And I'd like to thank everybody. I know a number of you have come from a long distance. This is an important bill that we'll be testifying on today. I know you have a lot of concerns. It's very important to you and it's important to us. So I want to start the hearing and we'll begin with the staff report.
House Bill 2967 allows a person to take a cougar bear that poses a threat to the human safety without having a license or a tag, and it defines what that threat to human safety would be. It also specifies that the person taking the bear cougar in these circumstances must report it to the Department of Fish and Wildlife and dispose of the animal as they are directed. And it also requires that ODF&W report how these animals are being taken and disposed of and make those available to the public.
Thank you, Megan. I'd like to call first Rod Harder. As you may know, committee, we heard this bill in January, and there was a desire to make it a cleaner bill and address more concerns. So we had a work group of a number of people, and Rod was a part of the work group, and I'd like him to report on that.
Thank you, Chair Close. For the record, I'm Rod Harder, Executive Director of the Oregon Sportsman's Defense Fund. I'm here not this morning as a representative of that group, but as a representative of the working group who worked over this particular bill. When this bill was brought before you before, it came from the governor's office at the request of Fish and Wildlife. Some background on the bill: last session, we had a bill somewhat similar to this that passed both houses and was vetoed by the governor. Over the interim, there was apparently a change of heart due to a number of different reasons, and the bill came down, as I said, at the request of Fish and Wildlife. There were some problems with the original bill in that the language that was taken out of existing law inadvertently did away with the permitting process for taking bear, cougar, bobcat, and fox on damage permits. So we have, one of the things that the working group did was to reinstate that language. Actually, what we did is take it out of that section of the law. Working group consisted of quite a broad range of parties: the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, legislative members, the Humane Society of the United States was represented, and our group. And the biggest change was the one I just articulated. The bill has added, we have added to the bill lines 23 and 24, loss of wariness of humans displayed through repeated sightings of animals during the day near humans. And we will have witnesses this morning who have lived this story, and I think you will find their stories very compelling. With that, I would close and answer any questions that the committee might have, and would be here for the entire hearing should the questions and the testimony develop any further. I have also some testimony from a constituent of Representative Kriegers. He will be giving testimony this morning, and I will hand that testimony from Brookings out along with some pictures that I think you will find very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Harder, for the work group report. I'd like to open the public hearing on House Bill 2967 and call forward our first person to testify, which is our esteemed Speaker of the House, Representative Simmons.
Thank you, Chair Close, members of the committee. I want to thank you for allowing me this few moments to speak with you, and I just want to add my support to the bill. I appreciate you taking the time to take up this issue. It's an issue of great importance in rural Oregon. There are too many encounters, too many near misses going on now. Too many stories I hear from home about cougar laying alongside where the kids play. Cougar laying in the yard, in the backyard or the front yard. Out by where we parked the car, there was a cougar laying there. It's only a matter of time before we have a fatality such as has been experienced in California, in Washington State, and elsewhere in the nation. it's appropriate that we begin to give people the tools they need to defend themselves and take care of their personal safety appropriately. As Mr. Harder alluded to, we did have some bills last session. One bill very similar to the bill that is before you now that made it to the governor's desk but was vetoed under pretense that the ODFW already had the authority to allow people to protect themselves. And in the interim, we found out that they did not have the authority to do so. And so we have the bill, the governor's bill, and the committee bill that's before you. I would encourage you and urge you on to thoughtful deliberation of the bill and the provisions it provides for citizens across the state. I know you will hear a lot of very compelling testimony. It is a very important issue. It's an important issue for public safety in rural Oregon. Every bit as much as of our laws that affect predominantly the urban areas and laws that we all support to provide for good public safety in the urban and metropolitan areas. So thank you very much. I will be available as a resource should you desire to call upon me later. Thank you.
Is there questions for the speaker? Representative Cruz.
Not so much a question, because I wouldn't want to put the speaker on the spot, because payback can be tough. I guess we kind of focused last session, for those who weren't here, on the northeast part of the state, simply because we're trying to actually get something through the system. My concern at that point in time, and I think something Representative Krieger will speak to, is the fact that this is a problem also in Southern Oregon and other parts of the state, I think just as severe as it is in the Speaker's district. And so I'm really glad that this bill is not regionally specific anymore and it deals with the whole state, and I think it's incredibly appropriate. And I want to thank the Speaker for all of his work in 99 on this issue, because I think without that we wouldn't be where we are today. So thank you very much.
I would also like to commend you on behalf of the committee, Speaker Simmons, for your concern, for your constituents, and for young children. And it is our pleasure to be able to testify to this today and to bring this bill back. So, thank you
so much. I appreciate the work.
We also have Representative Krieger is here to testify. Would you come forward, please? Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Close and committee members. For the record, I'm Wayne Krieger, State Representative from District 48, which is, believe it or not, we're part of Oregon. We're on the south coast, and the west as you can get. I wanted to talk to you just for a moment this morning about House Bill 2967, and maybe a little history of observations that I made with the 28 years I was with the Oregon State Police Game Division, and during the same period of time from 72 forward, observations that I've seen taking place on my tree farm. 300 and some acres that we have just north of Gold Beach. The first years when I got to the South Coast, 64 up through around 1970-72, we had two government trappers that worked Curry County. That was a both federal and state and county program. It was very active. They had plenty of money to get out there and do the job. We were cutting timber, and they worked very hard at controlling predators, both sheep, on sheep predation, cattle. That was the focus. In those early years, they would average one or two cougars a year. That was it. Rarely was there ever a second or third animal ever taken. Very few sightings. I worked 5.5 years of overtime, plus that 28 years, and many, many of those hours were on our back, forest roads, on our streams. A lot of times I was on foot. It was years. It was sometime between 70 and 75 before I actually sighted one animal in Curry County. What has happened since that time is astronomical in my viewpoint. We've killed two on our tree farm in the last 6 or 7 years. My daughter Wendy came up from Scappoose, parked her car in the yard right in front of our house, went out the next morning early when it was still dew, and there were footprints where a cougar walked across the gravel dirt road right up onto the trunk, across the roof, right off the hood, and kept right on going. And there's two large dogs tied up right there. Just, I looked at that, I couldn't believe what we're seeing. the decrease in wildlife, you don't see it so much where we are in elk, because the elk are really moving to the coast, because there's not the timber cut back and the habitat for them. But with them, I believe that's where a lot of our cougar population is coming. And what's really impacted is our deer populations, which are probably about 30% of what they were when we bought the property in 1972. Huge decrease in the number of deer, lack of fawns surviving. Obviously, I believe, in my own opinion, this is due to the increase in the deer, I mean, the cougar population. We never anymore walk on our tree farm alone. We always either have a dog, we always have a gun. I do not allow any member of my family, my wife goes for a walk for exercise when we're home, she has to take a gun with her. I prefer to go with her. You do not feel secure like we did years ago. It's interesting to note that I talked to my government trapper 2 weeks ago, and he killed 5 cougar in 4 weeks in Curry County, and I understand now they got another one this week. I can't confirm that, but that would be 6. All of these animals would be taken right in adjacent to and around homes, not way out in the countryside. This is adjacent to our urban areas in Brookings, up to Windchuck. I think it's time that we take a second look at this. I think that what this bill does addresses part of that problem. I encourage everyone to take a hard look at it and support it. I'd be willing to answer any questions or observations that I've had from my work.
Representative Mona Sanderson.
Thank you, Chair Close. Representative, I don't know much about Curry County, and has the population, is that an area where there's increase in population also?
As far as people?
People, yeah.
Yeah, it was about 16,000. We're about 23,000. So we really haven't grown that much.
No.
6,000, which is a high percentage of the total population, but not a huge growth of total people.
And are you aware, maybe this isn't a question that should be directed to you, has the cougar population really just mushroomed?
It has.
And what animals are the natural predators of cougars?
I don't know any other than people. Pretty much, you know, they're the king of the woods, so to speak.
Representative Krieger, I had a question. You mentioned the timber practices and the effect on the elk. Could you just clarify?
Well, as we've stopped cutting, like in our county, the federal land, which is more to the east of the coast belt where the private property is owned, that is now in reprod, which doesn't produce a lot of the elk and deer, and they have moved west down to the coast, and we have much larger populations adjacent within that private property belt of ag land and private timberland, which is being managed. So that population shift of elk is to there. I think that's where a lot of the cougar have come from, and they've expanded then, of course, utilizing the deer that are in that same area for the same reason.
So the cougars are following the elk? Representative Morgan.
I think that Representative Mona Sanderson's comments are very interesting, and it's my hope that we would have people come in from the Department of Fish and Wildlife that can talk to us about studies that have been done on cougar populations. There's one down in my area in the headwaters of the South Umpqua River where they radio-collared cougars and tracked their movements and their territories, and that one's very interesting. And there has been data gathered in the northeastern part of the state about cougar populations. Very interesting data. I think the one thing that you said, Representative Krieger, that really resonated with me is how the rural lifestyle has changed now, and that we don't send our kids out to ride horses in the woods anymore, and you don't go out to check your livestock unless you have a rifle with you, even if you're just going out to the barn. And we routinely get stories from people that have to deal with cougars that are coming down into what we would call the rural residential areas. We're not talking about the farms and the homesteads that are way back in the woods where this would be more routine and accepted. We're talking about the edges of the towns and the cities now where people go out to check their horses or their sheep or whatever and find cougar out there. And it's a really different situation than finding a porcupine or a deer in your yard. You have obviously something who is hunting for meat. and poses a huge threat, especially to children and people that have no means to defend themselves.
Yeah. Chair Close and Representative Morgan, what you're stating is very true, and the main reason I took time to come down here, and our wildlife being habit and decimated is one thing. Do you folks have this picture?
It will be passed out.
Okay. What's interesting about that is that this little girl in the picture was out near that dog within an hour of that time. And we are gambling with our children in rural Oregon now. My grandchildren were home this weekend. I do not let them go out of the yard. They've got to stay in the yard or right close, and I've got to be out watching them. You just don't feel that you're safe in your own home anymore. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. To call up Dick, Gloria, and Rochelle Schaefer. I understand you live a long ways from Salem, so we'd like to let you go first.
I'm Gloria Schaefer. I live in Elgin, Oregon. I live in town, Madam Chair. It's to the point that at least once a week, within three blocks of our house, there is either a siding or new tracks. My daughter walks to school three blocks in a cat run, and the cat ain't. They're not little cats, they're cougars. We can't let them out at night. She can't even go out and check her animals because we have a cougar right there in our yard. Our school, our high school in Elgin is on Phillips Creek. They have a cougar in their football field. We live within a half a block of Phillips Creek. It's a cat run. And there's not just one cat. We have three different sizes of tracks. You tell them about your kitty cat.
I had a lot of...
Do you want to give your name first?
What's your name? And where you live?
You're doing good.
It is Michelle. And I had a lot of cats, about 20, and now I'm down to 5. And I'm afraid to take my little brother outside. I'm afraid to play.
Ma'am Morgan, how long have you lived in the area?
I have lived in Elgin all my life.
Have you noticed an increase in the sighting of cougars over time?
Until I've lived in the woods. I've been in the woods since I was his age. I never seen a cougar until I seen one downtown Elgin a year ago. And there has been numerous sightings in the last 2 years in Elgin. My last spring, my mom and dad, who also live on Phillips Creek a block away, had a cougar kill in their backyard.
So this is a problem that's increasing.
Increasing, definitely. And we don't have just the cats on our side of town. There's cats all the way around. And they come right downtown Elgin. I mean, Elgin's not a big town, but they come right downtown by the post office, run down Main Street. They have no fear of us at all. I mean, we have fear of them, but they don't have any fear of us.
Are they the teenage male cougars that are looking for territory?
We have a mama with kittens, and we have... My little brother says it's about a 250-pound cat, so I don't think it's a teenage male.
Mrs. Schaefer, when you have these sightings, what is the process? Do you call Department of Fish and Wildlife?
We have called Fish and Game in La Grande, and we've called Portland Fish and Wildlife. The reason I'm here is because I called Mark Simmons' office because I wasn't satisfied with what was going on with Fish and Game in La Grande. Because they say they can't do anything because we're in town and they legally can't shoot the cougars. So
are you saying that within the city limits, is it a city jurisdictional problem? Or
no, Fish and Wildlife says they cannot deal with the cougar because they can't legally shoot it.
Continue.
I'm Dick Schaefer, Elgin, Oregon, 480 South 8th. I've lived in the area just about all my life. I'm like Gloria. Until 3 years ago, I'd probably seen 3 cats in my whole life. And in the last year and a half, I've seen 5. Actually, I've only seen 4. The 5th one was on our porch. The cats and the dogs was raised in Kane. The sheep were right at the edge of town. We've got some sheep and horses that's pastured right next to us. The sheep were making a lot of noise. I got up to go run a stray dog off or whatever, and about the time that I got to the door, there was a terrible commotion on our porch. And just before I got to the door, I heard a growl. In fact, I was headed for the door to open it. I changed my mind. I ran into the door. I was just going to go outside and, you know, run off whatever it was and get everything to be quiet so everybody could go back to sleep. Our cats was just going crazy. When I ran into the door, it made a loud noise. You know, it kind of rattled the shades on it. And, of course, I thumped into the door, and I was kind of dumbfounded. But if I would have got that door open, we might have had a cat in the house. About a week later, I was outside cutting wood, had a cat within 100 feet of me. I thought it was the neighbor's dog when it came out. A nightlight within 50 feet of where the cat was. It's one of the low output nightlights. I just dismissed it as the neighbor's dog was being loose. About the same color, about the same size. Just continued cutting wood, you know, because, and then all of a sudden you see some movement and it was different. And I looked up and it stood up and it pounced about 10 feet. Well, the saw was left sticking in the log, and I went in the house looking for a rifle, to be honest. Legal or not, that's just a little close to me. When I come back out, the cat was gone. This cat has been seen walking up one of our streets in town at 10:30 in the morning. I think the biggest thing that brought me here was the fact that we've called Fish and Game. They've come out and have said, I would tell us that there's been cats taken in other areas because our Fish and Game man in our area just flat states that he legally cannot do that. He's done his best, and how he's handled it so that it don't go anywhere is he just flat says, well, you're seeing dogs and it's a house cat, and we called him on a good set of tracks, took him 3 days to show up to look at it, but this time it snowed about 2.5 inches. The sun had shined on it. I mean, he walks out, and I mean, where the cat had run in the yard, and what it was doing was stalking the neighbor's dog. And it had pounced, and it was a little over 3 steps in between the marks where it had bounced. And he told me that them were dog tracks. And I've never seen a dog that quite walked or would move like that. But it's a concern for the kids. We've got our high school and grade school is separated. There's kids that go back and forth between the schools continuously throughout the day. We also have a Christian school there. Two of the schools are within less than 100 yards of Phillips Creek. And if you ever go through the area and there's snow on the ground, you'll see it looks like a walkway trail that just flat follows the stream. And yes, we do have a deer problem. The deer has moved into town. We've got more deer in town than they've got out of town. A lot of times you'll see like 27 head in 1 yard. We have tried to, as the city council, as the people have asked them, they've tried to deal with that. But it all takes time. The cats are, I think, a byproduct. It's just, it's scary. You don't sleep well at night. The other thing is, that really scares me, is the fact that when I seen the cat in the pasture, there was sheep and horses both there. And that night, the sheep didn't say nothing. The horses done nothing but stand and watch that cat. If the horses would have been making noise, the dog growled is what alerted me. It's unreal.
Thank you. Are there questions for the Schaefers? Thank you very much for coming. I know you've come a long way, and we appreciate you taking the time and making the effort to be come this far.
Thank you for letting us voice our opinion.
Next, we'll call up Jim Soares, who also lives more than 100 miles from Salem.
Good morning. Chair Close, representative of the committee. For the record, my name is Jim Soares. I live at 708 North Bear Creek Road, Wallowa, Oregon. And I've lived at this residence for approximately 24 years. In August of 1998, I killed a cougar at my home, and I'm here to tell you of that incident. After returning home from work, I had gone with my wife to Wallowa Elementary School to help her ready her room for the upcoming school year. Our two youngest children had gone with us while our oldest daughter had remained at home. And our home lies on the edge of the town of Wallowa. After approximately 1 hour, another teacher came bursting into the room telling us that there was a cougar at our home. And of course, we immediately headed home. What happened was a local woman had been walking, and just after she had passed our house, a cougar walked across the road immediately in front of her, and it laid down in the grass right beside the road. And when she observed this, you know, she just started backing up. She just backed up to our home there, and she knocked on the door. My daughter, 14 at the time, answered the door, and they both stood on the front steps of the house and could see the cougar lying in the grass along the edge of the road about 150 feet from them. And they went into the house and immediately began to call for help. Two neighbors were first on the scene, and they chased the cat across a small pasture adjacent to my house and into some brush that lay along Bear Creek. And they chased, they continued chasing the cat. He left this brush and went into some brush along some railroad tracks. And they again chased the cat out of this brush, but he circled, didn't leave the area. He circled and came right back into this brush. As soon as I arrived at home, I told my wife to call the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I grabbed a gun and went to assist. And we were finally able to locate this cougar and to kill it. For several reasons, I feel that this cougar posed a threat. First of all, for some time I'd been hearing of cats, dogs, chickens turning up missing in this area. And one family had observed what they thought were cougar tracks in their garden. And secondly, after killing this cat, I began to look around and I found where this cougar had been lying in the brush below the small pasture, which is just adjacent to my house. Now, my two youngest children, which were ages 6 and 9 at the time, had been playing quite frequently in this pasture. And I'm very certain that this cougar had watched them play. And I have no doubts at all, had the right opportunity presented itself, this cougar would have attacked. We in rural Oregon are being placed in jeopardy by misguided animal rights fanatics. I testified on another cougar bill, the one that Mark's Representative Simmons had up a couple of years ago. And I sat at these hearings listening to a woman opposed to changing Measure 18 say over and over, let the professionals handle it. Well, the professionals were handling it very well until people like her took away the only management tool that we had. Just look at the recent cougar attacks in British Columbia and then other attacks in Washington and California, and I guarantee you it's only a matter of time before someone is killed in Oregon. And if I could, I'd like to take this one step further and explain what can and I believe will happen. Traditionally, it's been deer and elk that were the main prey species for cougar. In our area of northeast Oregon, traditionally it's been winter carrying capacity which has limited the ungulate population, deer and elk. Despite the fact that in the past 8 years our winters have been relatively mild with virtually no winter kill on deer and elk, our populations have fallen far below our management objectives set by the Fish and Wildlife Department. Now, we're overdue for a hard winter. When that happens, deer and elk will be weakened by harsh conditions, and they'll be pushed and concentrated into areas of low elevation. Under these conditions, winter kill and predation will devastate the herds. I guarantee that. And at this point, we'll have an extremely high cougar population, and they'll be suddenly out of food. And I'm fairly certain that these cougars at that point will start preying heavily on livestock, and the problems that we're seeing now will be compounded. And this could spell disaster. We must have the right to protect ourselves and our property. What we really need is a repeal of Measure 18, but for now I urge you to pass this legislation before you. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Jim, I have a question. When you shot this cougar, I assume you then dealt with ODF&W. Were you threatened with prosecution at all?
No, not at all. I work very closely with the Fish and Wildlife Department in that area. they can call me. There's cougar tracks or something in the area. They all can call me if they're down near where I live and ask me to go look and verify whether or not they're a cougar. I do a lot of volunteer work for them, and I felt very comfortable in having my wife call them. And indeed, they told my wife if we thought it was a threat to take care of it, which we did.
So they're comfortable with you having acted in that circumstance?
Yes.
Representative Morgan.
Can you describe to us what your neighborhood looks like, how densely populated it is, or what the, you know, is it possible to give kind of an average parcel size?
Chair Close, Representative Morgan. Yes, I live right, well, actually, I am not within the city limits. I am within the urban growth boundary of Wallowa. Right behind me, I have a two-acre, well, now four-acre piece, since I've just added this small pasture where the cougar had been laying in my property. I have 4 acres right there. Most people around me toward town have just lots. It's kind of a rural residential. Average lot size, I would say, would be 1 acre on the average. However, behind me across Bear Creek, it's farm ground. And, you know, average farm size there is probably 200 acres.
Do you have a follow-up? How long have you lived in the area?
Chair Close, Representative Morgan, I've lived at this particular residence for approximately 24 years.
Have you noticed an increase in incidents in cougar sightings over the time that you've been there?
It's incredible. Yes, I have. I work in the woods, and I'm out in the woods probably 200 days a year. On the average, prior to passage of Measure 18, we'd probably see a cougar once a year. You'd see tracks maybe 5 or 6 times a year. And now I couldn't even tell you how many times I see tracks. As far as visual sightings, I can't say that I've seen a lot more cougars. They are there. They are an extremely secretive animal. Just to give you an idea of how secretive they are, I was passing an open grassland one time on the top of a hill, and I saw a cougar in the grass. I immediately stopped my truck. I took my eyes off the cougar for just a couple of seconds. I looked back up, and he was gone. I knew he couldn't have disappeared. He was out in the open, so I started walking out there. Well, he jumped up and took off. He had laid down, and he just disappeared. You couldn't see him. It's an animal that's extremely wary, and if there's not snow on the ground, they can be anywhere near you, and you just won't see them. They're just that secretive.
I guess I have a question for you about hunters. My father had a situation when he was hunting once where he lost a lens out of his glasses. They went back to find the lens, and coming up by his footprints, he found cougar footprints that appeared to be tracking him. Does that happen very often?
Chair Close. Yes, you hear about this more and more all the time. Prior to passage of Measure 18, no, you didn't hear about that. But with the increase in cougars that we've had, yes, you hear, I mean, it's a common occurrence anymore to hear it. And since I'm kind of involved in wildlife in that area, people tend to tell me these stories. But I probably hear about 3 or 4 these kinds of stories every year now from various people.
Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we'll have Gary Holland from Wheeler County.
Chair Close, members of the committee. My name is Mary Holland. I have 2 homes. I have a home in Clackamas County, which is just west of the Bull Run watershed, between the Bull Run watershed and the Sandy River. I also have a home in Wheeler County, and I would like to bring a little bit of both because we have cougars in both areas, and we have kills in both areas. I had, in 1999, a cougar kill my dog 100 feet in front of my house in Clackamas County. No one had even said anything that there was cougars in the area. I have been there 25 years. I've never had a problem. And all of a sudden, here it came. We went to go to church, and there's my dog laying right in my orchard in front of my house. At 4 o'clock in the morning was when I heard the dog bark. I, at that time, contacted Fish and Game. They sent the man out to do an autopsy. Yes, it was a cougar. At that time, we started talking to find out what was going on, and we had a community meeting with about 40 people that came at the church in Ames, and we started hearing all kinds of stories when we got the community involved. This is an area of 5-acre spots, basically. It is all timber right next to the watershed, so you know that if you see one, in 5 seconds, you're not going to see it. It's going across the road. It's doing something normally, and this is, seems to be what's happening. I made up four Fish and Game, and I'd like to pass this out. This was 1999. I spent the summer in 1999 in Sandy. I've been building in Wheeler County for 5 years, but that summer I had to be over here because the dog got killed and the cougar and the problems that we had. And if you read this, you will see that during that month, a couple months before that, we'd lost 4 or 5 of our cats around the house. We couldn't figure out why after so many years, all of a sudden our cats started disappearing. And we lost 4 or 5 cats that year that we brought down from Eastern Oregon. If you look at this letter that I have on June 10th or 11th, this is after we started our meeting, we found out what was going on. Just before dusk, at 7 o'clock, the neighbor just away from me saw a cougar and a kitten right next to the a half a mile from my house on the main road. In our area, we have 3 children's camps. One is Camp Nuanu, which is the campfire boys and girls. They are 1/2 mile to the west of me, between my house and the Sandy River. They sit right on the Sandy River with the confluent of the Bull Run. This cat and kittens were seen within 1/4 mile of this camp, and there's approximately 200 to 300 kids in this camp all summer long. Just to the east of me, about 2 miles, we have Camp Howard. I don't know if you're familiar with Camp Howard. It's a Catholic camp, church camp. They have 200 to 300 kids there all summer. This is about 1/2 mile from the Bull Run watershed. They have already killed a cougar at the camp a couple years ago. But we're looking at there. There's 200 to 300 there. We have Trout Creek Bible Camp, which is 4 miles to the north of me. There's 300 to 500 people in that camp all summer long. As I understand it from Fish and Game, a cougar, they tried to tell me, had a radius of 60 miles. I don't know that it's a radius. I would say it's probably a diameter. Radius of 30 miles. Let's take a radius of 30 miles. Do we have any idea how far that is? That's from Salem to Portland. That's a radius that one cougar can stay on. And this is brought by Fish and Game. It's just unbelievable. After my dog was killed, I went and started talking, and I found that on the 15th to the 16th of June, my next-door neighbor, which is about 300 feet from my house,
2 days before had spotted a cougar at night. He heard something, went out, took the light, and there was a cougar that had something freed 75 feet in front of his house at 4 o'clock in the morning. He could not shoot it because there's another mobile home that just sits right direct in line of where this cat was in front of his house. And then 2 days later, my dog got killed. But I didn't know that there was even one in the area at the time. And I'll leave this with you, but you see the different sightings. This is what I had to do that I sent to Tom Thornton at Fish and Game. Keep a record of each one. For that whole year, I wrote down every sighting that we saw within a half mile of my place. And this is the record of that with letters of camps that I have.
Representative Morgan has a question.
Can you describe to us what your neighborhood is like, what the sizes of the parcels are, and how the close together the houses are?
We're on 5 acre lots. It's zoned 10 acres, but before 1973, most of it was zoned into 5 and 6 acres. It's
is
all
it
timber.
Is it thoroughly developed? Is there a home on each 5 acre parcel?
The majority. Just to the east of me, that guy's got, I don't know, there's probably 100 acres in there that he has divided that there's nobody on. But just on the little road that I live on, there's 5 homes. On the road to the south of me, which is my drive, is within 50 feet of the road that goes up above, and there's probably 50 homes up there in that little area. To the north of me, there's a main road that heads between Sandy and Corbett, and there are homes up there. And a lot of them have cattle. Some people have 40 acres. But the more right where we're at, it's 5 to 10 acres.
We have a follow-up problem, Chair. How long have you lived there?
Since 1976, 25 years.
And that was when your house was built, 25 years ago?
Well, I owned the property and developed it. I built my house in 1979.
I'm trying to get a feel for how long the area has been developed. Whether this is a recent thing or whether the homes have been there for a long time?
Most of the homes have been there for years. When you get to the east side of the Sandy River, the roads and the area do not set well with people because it's too far and too hard to get to town. So most of the developing is on the west side of the Sandy River. We have a few homes that are new. There's probably half a dozen homes a year that are built in the area.
So when you first moved into the area, was it common to see cougars the way that it is now?
I went 24 years without seeing one, or even hearing of one. And the first thing I heard was when my dog got killed. That's the first one I've seen in 1999.
Thank you.
100 feet in front of my house. And I have 2 grandchildren that live there. And they, you know, We can't let them go out into the orchard. I've got an orchard right there. And we have coyotes. We have bear. I'll get into some of that later. But, you know, we've had bear for years right there. They come into the garden. They eat our raspberries. They break our trees, eat the apples. They come after the compost. And we put up with it. Bears don't bother me. Bears don't bother me in the least. But a cougar scares the wadding out of me. Right now, my neighbor has 15 acres to the north of me. She's a single woman. She's 75 years old. And she mows about 6 acres. And if you see a 75-year-old woman on a riding lawnmower with a 357 on her back, it's scary. It is scary. And she's scared to death. And I feel sorry for her, but what can I do? We come out, Fish and Game brought out, after my dog was killed, Fish and Game brought out a trap on a trailer. They said, well, we don't think it's going to come, but it's a bear trap, basically. So we're going to put this little pie pan, aluminum pie pan, inside and then spray it with some kind of scent, and we're going to catch a cougar. Come on. These guys are jokes. Absolutely jokes.
Was it successful? Did it catch anything?
No. we put it within 20 feet of where, when I had the neighbor come up who has dogs, and I said, I want you on the property to find out what's going on. And we found where that cougar had been laying and where all the grass was down, and we put it within 15 feet of that. Not a sign of that cat. Not a sign. They will not go into anything like that. They're too smart. They're a lot smarter than they are. I had my neighbor, Mr. and Mrs. Hazelwood, which you see on that. They also wrote a letter because I spent most of my time last year up in Wheeler County. And she brought up to date some of the things that they have seen. And I would like to read that for her if I could. She just wrote it last night. We understood you're discussing the presence of cougars in our areas of our homes. We live on the edge of the Bull Run watershed in the foothills of Mount Hood, 6 miles from Sandy. We always enjoy looking out the window and watching deer in our front yard and driving free in the drive and seeing elk. However, seeing a cougar as you step off your back deck is unsettling. We expect to see wild animals, but not just ones as dangerous as a cougar. For the past 2 years, there have been many cougar sightings. These sightings have been too close. One neighbor saw a cougar in the road in front of her as she was leaving her garbage at the mailbox and getting the morning paper. This last September, her 18-year-old daughter went out to put her two horses in the barn, about 35 feet from the back door. She saw a cougar just feet from the barn gate. We personally have not lost any animals. I believe others have. We lost animals. We love animals and are not the type to shoot anything unless it's necessary. We would defend our daughter and her horses. Susan has not been allowed to ride freely in the past 2 years on the dirt roads around our home. In the past, she would ride every day. She now rides about once a week, usually on their 10 acres where they can see her. And her horse is going to have a foal this spring, and they have to take it into town and pay to have somebody take care of it in there because they're afraid that the cougar will get the foal before it gets going. And then on the second page of hers, you see where there are other sightings during the last year. Somebody just called me the other day and said that they saw a cougar with 3 kittens so far this year already. So they're there. They're within a half a mile of our place, and they're staying there. They're not going back up in the watershed where they used to be. I didn't have a chance to make colored pictures. The colored pictures show the dog. This was my dog. She was a third wolf, two-thirds Malamute. I had her for 11 years, and she was an excellent, smart dog and a very good hunter. And when they came out and did the autopsy, they said she never had a chance. She never knew what hit her. It came from the tree. We saw the marks in the tree where it had been and came straight down on her back and gutted her out before anything knew what was going on. But those are black and white pictures. I wish you could see the colors, which I'm sure you're familiar with, but it's very sickening. Who's had a logging company for years. He lives 4 miles from my house. Had a cougar on his back porch last year. And it was eating a cat food on the back porch. He rattled the door, did everything he could to get it off. It would not go until it ate and finished the cat food and then wandered off. And this is absolutely unreal. You can't imagine. My 9-year-old granddaughter has to walk a third of a mile up the gravel road to get to our house after school each day. It scares me. I'm not home all the time. I can't pick her up. Her parents work. And it bothers me. Other people that live up what we call Laughing Water Road, which is the road just to the south of me, that road goes up a mile and a half. And these kids either walk or their parents pick them up and deliver them every morning to the main road because they're afraid to let their people, their kids out. As far as our house in Clackamas County. I'll leave it at that with the testimony. In Wheeler County, last summer, we had Mary Resnicek and her children. They are teachers at the high school. They have kids, and they were driving on the road just about 4 miles north of town, and all of them saw a cougar eating a baby elk alongside the road. About 2 weeks later, they were going up the same road because they're building a house up there, and there was a cougar chasing another baby elk right across the road. The elk got in front of them, got past them. The cougar came right out in front of them. They had to slam on their brakes to keep from hitting it, and it deterred it enough that the elk got away. This is unheard of up there. I just got a call from my neighbor about 3 weeks ago when I was up there, and she said we had a cougar kill just to the north of my property between my house and her house, and the deer was on the, it's a dirt road. The deer was on the road where it had been gutted out.
These kills are taking place in daytime?
Daytime, yes, as they're going to school.
Representative Moss Anderson.
Thank you, Chair Close. Thank you for coming. I am Representative Moss Anderson from Gresham. We've had cougars sighted in Gresham also, which is Clackamas County's neighbor. But this bill also addresses bear. And you were the first person that has commented on bear, and you said bear is not a problem. Do you think that this bill, I mean, it's very apparent to me that the cougar population has just gotten out of control. But what about the bear? This means that if a bear, bears will be able to be shot if they are around too. I would have a fear of bear also, but I would like your comments on how you feel this would affect the bear population.
Bears are much more prevalent than they were years ago. I never had that problem up till about 4 years ago. My renter, I've got a mobile home that sits right in front of my house, and my renter was watching it all summer long, eating the compost 50 feet in front of them. The mobile home right down in the garden area. I have put up with it. I put an orchard in. I've got 75 trees. I've nurtured them for 5, 6, 7 years. And just about the time they get going, a bear goes up the tree, gets some apples, and breaks off the main limbs, ruining the tree. I can't tell you how many trees I've lost just from bears. They eat our raspberries. They lay in the garden. You can see right where they come over the, I got a 4-foot fence just to keep things out of the garden area. They come under it, and they lay in the garden area. You can see where it's all matted down, big areas, bigger than this desk, where they just lay right underneath the trees in the orchard. But on the other hand, a bear will normally run from a person when there's somebody out there. They don't attack. Very, very seldom would you ever see an attack from a bear, as far as I'm personally concerned. They don't bother. I would shoot it if it came out. But, you know, they're in their natural habitat, and normally they don't bother people. People out there, we have bobcats, we have lynx, we have the cougar, the bear, elk, deer, coyotes. And I had a coyote come into my orchard, and I watched him for an hour and a half come over across the driveway, pick up an apple, go back, take it back 5 minutes later, pick up another one. I sat in the front window and watched this thing. They don't bother me. The cougar scares the wadding out of me. They're 150 pounds. I mean, you know, they weigh more than this lady does. And to have somebody, to have something like that jump on, I mean, you know, what would you do if you were walking down, you know, like my dog would? My dog weighed 80 pounds, and all of a sudden, it's gone. It jumped on it. It's dead. It's gone. And a person looks a whole lot worse than this dog when they're gutted out, believe me. And it just, you know, it scares the wadding out of me. I'm just, can't say enough of we need some legislation. The one problem with this legislation is in our area here in Clackamas County, by the time you see it, you couldn't even reach for your gun until it's gone. I mean, I've tried to kill coyotes in eastern Oregon, and you're driving down the road and you see a coyote, you can't get your gun, you can't get stopped and get the gun fast enough, and it's gone, and you couldn't reach it if you wanted to with a varmint rifle. And cougar is even faster than that. So, and here, they run across the driveway, the little road. You've got 30 feet, and a cat can jump 15 feet in one leap. You can't see it. You've got 3 seconds, and yet they're out there stalking the kids. They're stalking all this stuff and watching what's going on. This one laid underneath the tree and watched. We don't know how many days it laid there before it finally got my dog because my dog was barking at it. I heard the dog barking, but at 4 o'clock in the morning, I didn't feel like getting up. I never had a cougar around. I never had any idea. So, anyway, if you have any questions, I'd be more than glad to answer anything that I can on it.
Thank you, Mr. Holland, for your testimony. I appreciate it. Representative Lee.
Yes. How far do you live from McCabe Road?
From McCabe Road?
McCabe Road. You know McCabe Road on about 10 miles outside of Sandy going up towards the mountain?
Oh, I'm a long ways from that. I'm north of Sandy, towards Corbett. You know where the Bull Run watershed, the PGE power dam?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mile and a half from the power dam up towards the top of the hill going just above Roslyn Lake. My wife comes home at midnight. She's a nurse, comes home around midnight, and she can't tell you the number of animals that she sees all the time at night down in through there. Oh, deer, everything. Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering because 40 years ago when I grew up in Sandy out on McCabe Road, we had a cougar come through our yard, but we lived out at the end of the road. There wasn't anybody else around for several miles.
Right.
So that was probably more natural habitat. So I'm worried to hear that they've encroached so far into.
Well, the problem we have where we live is that we're so close to the Bull Run watershed. We're 2 miles from the Bull Run watershed. It's a protected area. It's $500 penalty for going in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if people came out and used dogs, the dogs chase the cat back into the Bull Run watershed, and then they can't get their dogs. They have to have the people from the city of Portland go find their dogs and bring them back out to them because they can't even get into it. So, you know, when they could use dogs, they were even a little hesitant about coming into the area, but the cats are just coming out so fast now that it's, and they're staying out, and there's more of them. You know, like I say, 2 years ago, we've had them with two babies, two kittens. This last spring, last winter, if I should say, within the last few months, there's another cat that's got three kittens. So they're getting thicker and thicker and faster and faster.
Thank you, Mr. Holland. Appreciate you. You're coming. Call forth Charlie Stone.
Good morning, Chair Close, members of the committee. My name is Charlie Stone, and some of the members here know me because I appear fairly frequently in front of committees on behalf of the Department of Forestry, but today I'm here for the first time in 20 years testifying on my own behalf. I support House Bill 2967. 2 years ago, November of 1999, I was elk hunting in northeast Oregon and was working along a side hill through some thick white fur, and came out into an opening and heard a snarl, and immediately about 100 feet in front of me, two adult female cougars came out from behind cover. I stopped, I backed up a little bit, but couldn't go any further without going back into the fur thicket, and I wasn't about to do that. By backing up some, I opened up an area to the right of me uphill that would have been an easy escape for the cougars. I had no cougar tag and no intention of taking cougars that day, but they continued to close in on me. They had teeth showing, ears pinned back, They were side by side and coming toward me. After not too much thinking, I determined that there was a line out ahead of me that I wasn't going to let them get any closer then. And when the first cougar reached that point, I shot it. It was dead immediately and dropped in place, but the other cougar didn't run away, and I was very much surprised by that. It slowly moved up the slope from me, went behind cover for about 30 seconds, and came back out again, and then started to approach me like the two of them had before. And when it got to that imaginary line again, I shot it. It rolled down the slope fairly close to me, started to try and get up again, and I shot it again, and it was dead. I was aware at the time that that what I had just done was arguably a crime. And for a while, I determined that I was going to leave them there and be done with it. After a couple of days, I knew that was wrong. I didn't like the way it felt, and I went with a friend, got some horses, went back in there, got the two animals, and brought them into the Fish and Wildlife Department in La Grande. I was very much relieved, as you might imagine, that after telling my story for about three different times, three different ways, I mean, they kept asking the same questions again. The biologist there determined that I was, in fact, feeling threatened. I'm not sure that he ever acknowledged that I was actually threatened, but he determined that he wasn't going to recommend a citation and wasn't going to tell the state police about it. I've also been in the woods for many, many years as a forester, as a hunter. I've never encountered cougar in 25 years before that. I frequently encounter bears, and as the gentleman before me spoke, my experience is, with one exception, that you see a bear, if it sees you, it runs away, and that's not a problem. I did spend one night with the Boy Scouts in Mule Creek Canyon down along the Rogue River, where we had bears in camp every 15 minutes or so, anywhere from one to three bears. That was the longest night I've ever spent in the woods. But they didn't ever actually approach us. They were there to raid the garbage cans in the campground, and they left us alone, but it was very, very great concern to us. I'm here to say that I think this House Bill 2967 is very well written. I think it addresses the appropriate concerns in terms of disposal of the animals, of reporting them to Fish and Wildlife, of making reports on that so that we can learn from these experiences. And I think with regard to bears, the addition of the item about the loss of wariness of humans is important, because that's really the only time in my experience that that bears are going to pose a threat. But this is an appropriate action to take by the legislature, and I support it. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Charlie, can I just ask you, had one of those bears in the Boy Scout campground come into the tent, would you have wanted to be able to shoot it?
Madam Chair, we didn't have any tents. We were sleeping out under the stars. It was a 50-mile hike down the Rogue River Trail, and we weren't carrying tents with us. Yes, if they had approached that in that fashion, I would have liked to have had the opportunity. But another interesting fact is that within a half mile of the Rogue Wild Scenic Area, you're not allowed to discharge weapons.
Representative Morgan.
You were obviously hunting elk during the day up in northeastern Oregon when you came upon the two female cougars. In your experience, is it odd for cougars to be hunting during the day?
Madam Chair, Representative Morgan, I really don't have any experience with that type of thing. What I was told by the biologist was that the very unusual thing about this occurrence was that there were two adults hunting together. Cougars are normally very solitary animals, and these two obviously were littermates, possibly twins. I don't know about their daytime or nighttime hunting habits, but the fact that after adulthood that they were still together is another and more evidence that the increased populations and the pressures that are out there are changing the behaviors and the frequency of sightings of cougars.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Jared Broadfoot.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Close, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jared Broadfoot, assistant to the director of the Oregon Sportsman's Defense Fund. My purpose here today is just to submit written testimony of constituents of the Speaker of the House, Representative Mark Simmons, and express their concern as well and support for this bill, and would like to read their name into record. Dave and Linda Noble from Elgin, Oregon, have submitted written testimony. Earl and Verna Schmidl from Elgin, Oregon, Nancy Wortman from Elgin, Oregon, and Mary Berryman from LaGrand, Oregon. And Mary Berryman has asked me to express her deep concern, as she was here last session and testified before the committee on that bill, where she had her Rottweiler killed and was kept captive inside of her house for 3 days because of the cougar remaining around her house. And that is it, and I'll answer any questions.
Questions for Jared? Okay, thank you so much. Representative Krieger wanted to make another comment.
Chair Close and members, the topic of bears come up, and I probably should have mentioned that. The population of bear in Curry County is absolutely phenomenal, and the rate that they're causing damage to private property, orchards, people's water supplies, the plastic hose, beehives, is an ongoing problem. On my own 300-acre tree farm, since 1996, I've experienced $250,000 of damage and loss of future production on my tree farm, trees that my wife and I planted beginning in 1980. Just last week, not this weekend, but the weekend before, I was home getting some cattle in and out of an area that I had not been into for, 6-8 months. And I have to go back in there because the whole hillside is yellow from dying trees, and the bark being peeled. Last week, when I got back here, I got a hold of Jim Brown, the state forester. I asked him for the new overflight. They do aerial overflights on the west side and track and map the bear damage. I can recall when I was on the Board of Forestry several years ago that we had 386,000 trees killed in one overflight that they had attended. That was from 1 year's kill. Now, on my own property this year, it's probably going to be up near 500. I'm just guessing from, I haven't been in there yet. But if you take 500 fir trees that are 20 years old and start working with them sometime in the next 6-7 years, you know, they're 14, 15 inches in diameter, you know, breast height, there's a huge loss. The future of that property, which was my tree farm, was the national tree farm in 93. We worked hard. There's a balance between taking care of the environment and providing timber products and jobs for families in the future. And we tried to find that balance. We were successful in doing it. All that work, all that investment, all those hours of planning and throwing brush is all for naught. What's even worse is that if you go into the riparian zones, that's where your trees seem to be a little bigger, down near the bottom of the creeks. As a result of that, that's the trees they kill. So here we've got a bear killing the trees in the riparian zones, and we're trying to leave the trees in the riparian zones for large woody brilliant salmon recovery on the Oregon salmon plant. It's a hoop. We've got to address this not as a safety issue, but as an economic viability and a thing. If we're going to recover salmon, we have to make sure that happens. One other thing on the Clatsop and Tillamook State Forest, they've got great amount of bear damage on that, which, guess where that money goes? Tillamook County, Clatsop County, the Common School Fund. It's going to impact Oregon. South Coast Lumber, they feel like they receive about $2 million in Curry County a year to bear damage loss. That's a lot of money, it's a lot of jobs, that's a lot of tax revenue we're losing. So I think it is an important equation that when we prohibited baiting, we prohibited chasing them with dogs, they are not taken in very large numbers from hunters in the field. Cougar, of course, even less, but bear are producing faster than the cougar are. So it is going to impact us very much financially, the state of Oregon.
Representative Morgan.
Representative Krieger, when you were an Oregon State Police Fish and Wildlife Enforcement Officer, were bears the same kind of a problem down on the coast that they are now?
No. We had a fair population, Representative Morgan, at the time, but it was fairly constant until they were made a game animal. And boy, at that time, that really took off the population. And then when we were not allowed to run them with dogs or bait them, then it really got out of hand. The Lobster Creek watershed, which is just east of mine, the creek is 20 feet, 25 feet wide, I don't know how many acres it is. Not a big watershed. They took 46 bear out of there in 3 weeks. and they figured they had half of them. And that watershed has been devastated in this private property. You're having a lot of kill, even on the Forest Service ground, but they've stuck their head in the ground like an ostrich, and they don't pay any attention to it because, you know, you work for the Forest Service, but it doesn't cost you anything when you lose your forest.
I have a follow-up. So under the current wildlife regulations, what are people's options for managing bear?
Well, you can spend your whole time. You can actually get a permit to take them on your own property. But if the numbers get to where they are now, you cannot spend every day of the week from daylight till dark on your property trying to manage bears alone. You have other things you have to do. And if you're here, they're over there. And it doesn't seem to matter. And I've hunted, tried to go out at night and evening, you know, hunt them. Can't locate them. They, you know, they got a good nose. They hear well. They seem to like where our testimony is. You know, they see you, they're gone. So that's one of those things on the coast where you got a lot of brush. You can't see any distance. You just don't see very many of the total that are there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your patience. We have two more witnesses that we're going to call forward, and then we will be intending to move on this bill. Roy Elker, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Let me just say briefly my name for the record, Roy Elker, legislative coordinator for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. To the bill itself, I know the time is short here today. We support the bill. We served on the work committee. We supported 2260. We support this bill. There's nothing I could add to the testimony you've heard today. Show, in fact, we're pretty much saturated right now with cougars, and they're coming. You know, we've got problems with them. We have, for instance, in 1999, almost 1,000 cougar complaints last year phoned into the department. Over half of those were a call involving people worried over public safety, over their pets or themselves or their children. So, in short, we support the bill.
I would like to thank Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife for working with people like Charlie Stone, who had themselves in a situation where they had to decide whether to break the law or defend themselves. And I appreciate his testimony that ODFW was helpful to him in helping through that difficult situation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've heard testimony both ways. I've heard we've been helpful, and I've heard we've not been helpful. And I will intend to find out why we weren't helpful in those cases that came up today. But frankly, with all these cougar complaints coming in, you could see easily how a small local office, Fish and Wildlife Department, with probably one person that may work part-time on chasing down these complaints, would have his hands full.
Questions, Deborah. Excuse me, Representative Kofori.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You said that in 1999 you had about 1,000 cougar complaints.
Madam Chair, Representative Kofori, that's correct. I think the exact number is 943 total cougar complaints.
And is that an increase from previous years?
Yes, it is. Madam Chair, Representative Kofori, I think we see an increasing number every year. I believe back 5 years before that, it was in the 700 range for cougar. So we're still seeing an increase in people calling about cougars each year.
Certainly.
Yes. Roy, what about bear complaints? How is that going?
Madam Chair, Representative Lee, I can say that we had 904 total black bear complaints last year. 421 involved a caller worried about personal safety or safety of their pets. The overall trend on bear complaints, I can't say for sure. Myself, I could check with staff. I'm assuming we're in the same situation, that we're pretty much bear saturated in this state. Talking to some of the tree farmers in Salem, here in the legislature, like Representative Krieger and others, all of them tell me they have an increasing number of problems with bears, particularly on tree farm situations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Representative Kofori.
Thank you. Roy, we lowered the tag for cougars a couple of years ago. I forget which session now. Has there been an increase in the number of people buying those?
Madam Chair, Representative Kefouri, yes, the cougar tag went from, I believe, $50 to $10 a few years ago, and there has been a definite increase in the amount of people getting those cougar tags.
And has then, correspondingly, has there been an increase in the number of cougars caught by the response?
Madam Chair, Representative Kefouri, yes, there has been an increase in the number of people that have taken a cougar with a legal cougar tag. And I can provide those numbers to you, say, tomorrow.
I would appreciate that. Thank you. Representative Cruz?
Just to follow up on Representative Kefouri, when the price of the tag went from 50 to 10, the actual revenue to the department increased significantly. Just a point for reference for other things.
Other questions for Mr. Ellison? Seeing none, thank you so much. And thank you for working on the work group with us. Appreciated that. The last witness is Tim Welsh, Oregon Family Farm Association, and former state representative.
Chair Close and committee members, I'm Jim Welsh, representing Oregon Family Farm Association. And we also live in a rural-urban interface just outside of Eugene, a little town called Elmira. These are a lot of 5, 10, 20-acre parcels out there, and a lot of forested area, and it's just kind of in the beginning slopes of the Coast Range. And certainly the district that I used to represent is District 43, and a lot of rural interface, a lot of small communities. And I know last session when we carried this bill and passed it out of this committee, and as I chaired this, there were at that period of time some other sightings and some that really disturbed us. There was one down, specifically down in Drain in the athletic field. They had to take that cat out, hunt it down, and remove it. And then there was a sighting in Vinita. And this is only, you know, 15 miles from Eugene in a fairly large community. And that cat was sighted numerous times before they could track it down and remove it. And then I remember one moment in time when I had a sighting, and I had never had one hunting in all my life in the Coast Range. But it was right after I was first elected, and I wanted some time by myself. I was elk hunting because it was November. And I remember circling, I was hunting on a private, several hundred acre ranch, friends of ours down in Drain. And I circled around his field because elk would come in and out of his field. I circled around up in the edge of the timber and then came back down around on his barn and stall area. And I was just glassing all around. I couldn't believe it. Right where I had just walked through, the cat just bounces out of and went back into the forest. There's a lot of sightings, and yes, they do. They do come back in and like to follow your scent and see what you're all about too. They don't go very far. Just like any house cat, if your dog chases them or you chase a house cat, they go to the first location they can find that's a safe haven, and it could be up a tree. It could be in a hiding place where they don't think they can get to you, and then they come back out and snoop around some more. They're very curious. What's concerning us in the Oregon Family Farm Association is certainly our livestock, our and more so than livestock and our ability to make a living, it is our children out there. And what concerns me is right in our location, I see up in our Deming Road area, right out of Elmira, children playing up. It's a paved road, but there's a lot of rock roads back into our properties. And the families, they still are not aware of the danger. We have sightings up in those areas, and the children are out there playing, walking to school on their school buses. The parents that are worried, certainly, they accompany their children. And I just wanted to quickly close on an article here recently, February 8th, 2001, by Mike Stahlberg of the Register Guard. And he states, it's only a matter of time until someone in northwestern Oregon is attacked by a cougar or a bear. And he says this, it's not when. He says it's the word when or not if. when taking, you know, this type of situation is going to occur? And do we have plans in place to investigate the scene? Because it's going to be, first of all, possibly, as he relates it, it'll look like a homicide scene, but yet, you know, it's a cougar attack and a body shredded to death. This type of situation can occur. We know it. We're talking about it. And now our papers are talking about it. And a lot of people are really surprised it hasn't occurred already. We need another tool here. When we're able to hunt with our past tools, with the dogs, we were able to push them back out, and they had a different behavior than they do now. They do not fear us. They will come down, and they'll just rest very close to our barn or our house. We don't even know they're there. It's interesting to see some wildlife photography of those animals hiding in bushes. I remember seeing those. You can't see them. You have to look at this photograph, and then suddenly you see these two eyes peering out of some bushes. It's a matter of when, not if, something's going to occur if we do not take actions. I'm very hopeful the legislature and the governor's office will support this bill this time. Certainly the legislature did last time, but we need the governor on board also. Thank you, Chair Close and committee.
Question for Mr. Welsh. Thank you so much. That completes our list of witnesses. So I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2967 and open the work session on House Bill 2967. Representative Monica Anderson.
I think we always have to have a balance between the environment and public safety, but I think the testimony is pretty compelling, and I would definitely want to see this bill passed.
Madam Chair.
President Jensen.
I'd move House Bill 2967 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Jensen has moved House Bill 2967 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Madam Chair.
President Jensen.
Could I ask Roy to come back to the chair for a minute for probably just a yes or no response?
Certainly.
I'm just going to make a statement, Roy, and I think I'm correct on this. Craig Ely, who is a district supervisor, I believe, for our region, I'm not sure what's in LeGrand, made the statement to me 3 years ago that the department had issued out a directive to put together a plan for an incident response team. I may be wrong on the exact wording of what that was, but the sum and substance of it was that not if but when there was a human fatality from a cougar event. Do you know anything about that, Roy, or could you speak to it?
Madam Chair, for the record, Roy Elliker, once again, legislative coordinator for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. To Representative Jensen's question, Representative Jensen, I can't speak directly to the incident response team. I've heard some things about that in the department. I've heard it discussed. I'm not sure where that is in the department's planning efforts right now, but I can certainly find out for you.
I think if I could follow, Madam Chair. And thank you, Roy. I appreciate your response. I think the point is that it's something that the department has recognized as being a major problem. And it's certainly a major public relations problem for them, but it more importantly is a major human problem when and if such an event ever takes place. So I think we have an obligation as a body here to do those things within our power to try to prevent those things from taking place. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative King.
Yeah, I think there's broad support, for this measure. During the last session, Mohawk Elementary School, not far from my house, and just really right outside the urban growth boundary, had two sightings on the school grounds. About 4 months ago, driving into town, within 300 yards of the Springfield city limits, there was a cougar that was killed by highway and road. Just got across the bridge. And about a week ago, there was a side-by-side set of editorials in the Register Guard. Some of you may have seen that. One of them was addressing and criticizing Mr. Stahlberg's position, the Register Guard editorial. And another was by a person that really surprised me on his editorial. His name was Dennis Lewick, and I climbed Mount St. Helens with him, and he knew every scientific name of every plant that I asked him going up that hill. And there's a lot of exotic ones, up there. This person, is someone who is involved in protecting trees in Eugene, and so this is not someone that you would expect would have a, an impact on this. And he had, I believe, had an attack incident, where he had been stalked, and he shared that incident in his editorial. So I'm very much in support of the bill, but I also want to say that I think there's an underlying issue here that I would also like to see us pay attention to. One of my constituents, when I spoke to him, on the phone, was just, right on all this in terms of what he was saying in the conversation. But then when I went to his home later, I realized that he had moved into a very wild area. I appreciate, the questions we'd had about, where do you live? Are you in an urban growth boundary? Or are you way out in the mountains someplace? And this person had actually moved his family into habitat. And the first thing we need to do is protect the kids, clearly. But I think part of the policy we deal with here is that because of our policies, we have the cougars moving into where the people are. But we also have to recognize that, that in our forests and our wild areas, that the cougars need, a habitat place as well. So I think that this bill is very much on and needed. And I'd also like to see us have an understanding and encouragement of, people trying to be in the right place and not take away the habitat as well.
Thank you. Representative Monis Anderson.
Yes, thank you. I think another factor that we have to take into consideration is we have had some fairly mild winters, and probably the reason we haven't had any fatalities is probably due to the fact that these animals have not had to attack because there's enough food around. And so I think this is excellent prevention work, and we'll close with that.
Representative Cruz.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I suppose, like most of the rest of you, virtually all the email I have got on this bill has been in opposition to it, and virtually all of it has been from the Portland area with a smattering from Eugene. And I guess what I would hope is that the people who are so strongly opposed to it would be able to really understand what the issue is here. In my district, Glide School, on the grade school playground a year and a half ago, they killed two cougars. It's just too close for comfort. We need to be able to have the citizens of Oregon in defense of themselves not be criminals because they're defending their lives or the lives of their children. And this bill would allow that for somebody to take affirmative action in their own defense and not be a criminal because of it. It's really about that simple. And I'm hoping that at some point in time, the real issue behind this gets communicated so that people aren't so vehemently opposed to something that makes such good sense.
Thank you. Other comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. House Bill 2967 has passed unanimously. And Representative King, would you like to carry the bill?
Yes.
Don't talk too long.
Close the work session on House Bill 2967. Again, thanks to everyone who came and testified. Fascinating discussion. And without further comment, we are adjourned.
Sure.